أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verse number 199 أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ثم أفيضوا من حيث أفاض الناس واستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم Then stream out from where the people stream out and plead to Allah for forgiveness. Indeed, Allah is all forgiving, all merciful. This is in continuation of the previous verse, which talked about going to Arafat and then from Arafat coming to Mash'ar al-Haram. And in Mash'ar al-Haram, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He has guided us. It says, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ When you stream out from Arafat, then remember Allah in Mash'ar al-Haram. Now, logically, this should mean then stream out from where the people stream out means it naturally should mean stream out from Mash'ar al-Haram to Mina. ثم أفيضوا من حيث أفاض الناس. Now the problem is here that it says where the people stream out, and who these people are. When we say ثم أفيضوا من حيث أفاض الناس, now some of the exegetes have mentioned that it refers to Ibrahim عليه السلام and Ismail, and of course they have mentioned Ishaq as well, although we don't know whether Ishaq came with Ibrahim to Hajj or not. But taking Ibrahim and Ismail as Nas, as people, and move out from where people moved out is very difficult. Those who support this view, they say that because in the Quran, Ibrahim has been mentioned as one ummah. Inna Ibrahim in Surah Nahl, Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillah. So Ibrahim was an ummah. So we can call him Nas. But this is very difficult. Although Allah calls him an ummah, meaning that his faith was like faith of an ummah, or probably the creed that he founded was the creed of the whole ummah. However, calling him Nas is very difficult. Now, there is another meaning for this, which has its own difficulty, but is mentioned in most of the riwayat, and 99% of all commentators have accepted that meaning. And that is the Quraysh who lived in Mecca, they did not go to Arafat. They moved from Mecca to Mina, and from Mina to Mash'ar, stayed in Mash'ar and came back to Mina. They did not go to Arafat. Their reason was, as I mentioned last week, they were very zealous about their faith. They thought that we are the keepers of Haram. We are the keepers of the house. We never go out of Haram during Hajj. You know, in Hajj we are told as soon as we put our ihram, the first thing is to go out of Haram. And then come back to Haram after we have done istighfar, after Allah has accepted our tawbah. Then we come back into the Haram to Mash'ar and Mina. All these are inside Haram. Arafat is just outside Haram, so we go outside Haram. There we do the tawbah and istighfar and then come back into Haram. It's just a symbolism of how Adam alayhi salam was removed from the paradise and then repented and was admitted back into the forgiveness of Allah, and the whole thing was made for him just like paradise. So they moved out to Arafat and then came back to Haram. Now, Quraysh said, we are Ahlul Haram. We never go out of Haram. And this became part of their rituals. This has been reported from Imam Al-Baghir alayhi salam and from Ibn Abbas and Atta and Mujahid, and almost all the exegetes have mentioned this, except very few which have leaned towards the first opinion that I mentioned. Now, Imam Al-Baghir alayhi salam is reported from him saying, إِنَّهُ أَمْرٌ لِقُرَيْشٍ وَحُلَفَائِهِمْ مِنَ الْحُمْسِ This is a command to Quraysh and their allies, who were called Khums, because they didn't go out to Arafah. They stayed until people went to Arafat, came to Mash'ar, and then they moved with the people to Mina. Why they did this? يَقُولُونَ نَحْنُ أَهْلُ حَرَمِ اللَّهِ لَا نَخْرُجُ أَنْهُ. They said, we are Ahlul Haram. We never go outside Haram. When we think about it, it is not sometimes difficult to understand. Nowadays also we have some rituals which has become important, more important than the commands and prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, for example, oh, this belongs to such and such, and we don't want to, for example, do certain things on this occasion. Some of the people, for example, on the day of Ashura, they do not pray Salatul Zuhr, and they continue having their matam and such things, saying that this is Ashura, the matam of Imam Hussein is more important than Salatul Zuhr, for example. Alhamdulillah, this has been changed now. But in past, we had these things. Now, here, they used to say, نَحْنُ أَهْلُ الْحَرَمْ وَلَا نَخْرُجُ عَنْهُ فَكَانُوا يَقِفُونَ بِجُمَعْ وَيَفِيرُونَ مِنْ. They came, they stayed in Mash'ar, which is Jum'ah, and then they moved out from that. Then Allah commands them, ثُمَّ أَفِيرُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفْرَادَ النَّاسِ. Move out from where people move out, means from Arafat, other people, other than Quraysh. Now, the problem with this interpretation is that it doesn't follow the order of the context of the statements mentioned here, because it says when you move out from Arafat, mention Allah, remember Allah in Mash'arul Haram, and then move out with the people. Now, because this has been the common opinion and we have it in Rawayat, what the interpreters have said about this is that this thumma is letartib dhikr. It means that Allah mentioned, first of all, what is the ritual, and then said, now, I mentioned this to you as well. You have to move out with the people. You cannot stay in Mash'ar and then move to Mina. You have to go out with the people. This has been mentioned by almost all the exegetes. All Shia exegetes, of course, have mentioned this. This is the tartib al-dhikr, order in mentioning things, not order in doing things. And Suyuti, as well in Tafsir al-Jalalain, has said that this is the tartib al-dhikr. So the meaning that we get from this is that the rituals of Hajj are mentioned from the beginning, from Arafat, move to Mash'ar, and then a command to Quraysh that you cannot change these things because of your zealous ideas about yourself or about whatever you believe in. You have to move out with the people. You have to go to Arafat and then come back to Haram. ثُمَّ أَفِيضُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. This istighfar may mean, of course, istighfar in Arafat. Go to Arafat and do istighfar. And we know that the best thing to do in Arafat after wuquf, which is wajib, is to ask forgiveness from Allah. What is the difference between af and maghfira? This is what almost majority of exegetes have mentioned here. The difference between af and maghfira. Af is a common quality between us and God. We do forgive, Allah does forgive as well. But maghfira is something which is specific to Allah. It means forgiveness as well, but it's a special type of forgiveness. We never say, for example, such and such person did practice maghfira on me, but we say he practiced af on me. Now, the difference between af and maghfira is very subtle. Af is to forgive something and do not practice the consequences that should follow an act. Like, for example, if Allah forgives us for one sin, He forgives in the sense that He does not punish us for that sin. He does not punish. However, there are some existential effects of what we have done still in our soul, and that cannot be removed by people. That's why people cannot do maghfirah. People can practice af, but cannot practice maghfira. If, for example, someone backbites me or someone lies to me, I may forgive them in the sense that I say, okay, I absolve you of what you have done. But the effect of that act would remain in their soul, in their heart. Now, maghfira is to cover. This is the meaning of ghufran, like takfir, is to cover the effect of that act, so that it would not forbid reception of thawab. It would not prohibit reception of thawab. And that is why Allah, in most of the places in the Quran, before people entering paradise, says that, give them good news of maghfira. Good news of yukaffirullahu anhum sayyi'atin. First of all, Allah covers the sayyi'at, then makes them enter into Jannah. Lahum maghfiratun wa ajrun azim. They have maghfira first, because maghfira prohibits the entrance of this sawab. This sin, the effect which is remained, forbids that, and maghfira covers it, and it's as it has not been done at all. And that's how people can enter into paradise. Allama Tawatabai, in the verse in Surah Baqarah, which says, "Wa'afu anna wa'ghfir lana warhamna." Here we have three things that we ask from Allah: af, maghfira, rahma. Wa'afu anna wa'ghfir lana warhamna. He says, what's the difference between these three? Af, maghfira, and rahma. About af and maghfira, he says the same thing that I said, that af is to forgive so that the punishment is not applicable anymore. Maghfira is to cover the effect of that sin in a way that it, as it is not existent at all, so it would attract the thawab as well, apart from forbidding, not allowing punishment, it would allow sawab as well. And rahma is, of course, the most general, because before maghfira, rahma could not come. Because rahma of Allah is very general. Everyone should receive it. But if there is sin, if there is effect of the sin, it forbids, it doesn't allow, blocks the way for the rahma to come. And that rahma, of course, is different from pity that we have in this world. That rahma is paradise, or making a person as such which would qualify to enter paradise. Like, for example, in the Quran, Allah mentions about his prophets that he gave them from his rahmah, or he entered them into his rahmah. Like, for example, walutan ataynahu hukman wa ilma, and then he says wa adkhalnahu fi rahmatina innahu min as-salihin. We made him enter into our rahmah because he was qualified. This salih here means qualified. He was qualified for it. He entered into our rahmah. He became a prophet. He had all those knowledge and everything. Or, for example, about Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub, Allah says, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتَنَا. We gave them from our rahmah. This is the rahmah that we receive, inshallah, in the day of judgment when we want to enter paradise. And if we have the slightest impurity, we cannot receive it. And that's why the maghfira is necessary. And always Allah says, lahum maghfiratun wa ajrun kareem. Before entering paradise, we need that maghfira. So here, istaghfarullah, istighfar from Allah is to ask this type of forgiveness, not forgiveness which is usually understood amongst us. So, وَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ ثُمَّ أَفِيدُوا مِنْ هَيْثُ أَفَضَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is, of course, غَفُور means that he would forgive in such a way, and then, of course, the rahmah will come. The rahmah of Allah will come. فَإِذَا, verse number 200, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمْ مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. And when you finish your rites, then remember Allah as you would remember your fathers. this is the end of the ritual. So the rituals or Hajj in these three verses has been stated from the beginning to the end. The beginning was Arafat, of course, and then the end is Qada al-Manasik by going to do the Tawaf al-Wajib and all these things. And after you have done this, then stay in Mina and remember God. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. And this manasik, as is mentioned by all exegetes, means حَجُّكُمْ بَعَنْ رَمَيْتُمْ جَمَرَةَ الْعَقَبَ وَتُفْتُمْ وَاسْتَقْرَرْتُمْ بِمَنَا. After you have stoned the Jamratul Aqaba, the first day, and then you have gone for Tawaf al-Ziyara, and then you have come and stayed in Mina, then remember Allah. Now, what's the meaning of this remembrance? فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهِ. Some exists say that these are the takbirat that we say after Salatul Eid and the following 2 days that Hujjaj are in Mina. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, walillah alhamd, up to the end. These are the meaning of this Udhkurullah. Of course, if one Allahu Akbar said with the attention of the heart, with presence of the heart, then that is enough for Dhikrullah. But of course, Dhikr should be repeated because the benefit of it doesn't come with one saying something. We have to repeat it so that the benefit comes, the presence of the heart is maintained or attained. So we repeat this takbirat, and others have said, no, this means that when you are there, try to reflect in Mina. Try to reflect and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why it says, كَذَكْرَكُمْ أَبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا? Because there was a habit among the Hujjaj in Jahiliyyah that when they were in Mina, okay, they had 2 days or 3 days there, and they had nothing to do. What they did, they started to recite poetry, they had gatherings during the night or during the day, and they started to talk about the honor and the achievements of their tribes and their fathers. In this way, they passed the time. Allah doesn't say that this is wrong to talk about your fathers. It is always good to honor your fathers. It's always good to honor your ancestors. Not in a boasting way, because لا جدال ولا فسوق في الحج لا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج. We said that one of the instances of fusuq was boasting to humiliate others. Not in that way. But it's always good to be grateful to what our parents or forefathers have done, what they have achieved. So Allah does not deny that. He said, in the same way that you remember your fathers, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because whatever achievements they have had is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever they have given you is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember Allah as well. What they did not remember anyone except their fathers there. Remember just in the same way that you remember your fathers, remember Allah aw ashadda dhikra, or more than that, more stronger than that dhikr. Now, stronger, ashad, can be in two ways. Now, it can be shadda, which is by kathratu dhikr, and shadda, which can be by the depth of the dhikr. Both of them can be possible. Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi says, يَقْبَلُ الذِّكْرُ أَشَدَّ فِي الْكَيْفِيَّةِ كَمَا يَقْبَلُ الْكَثْرَ فِي الْكَمِّيَّةِ. In kamiyya, we can say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Okay? But in kayfiyya, in the quality of dhikr, shadda is very important. And shadda means that deeply remember Allah. Remember what He has done to you. Remember His bounties. Remember what He has given to your fathers and things like that. We can say here that ashadda dhikra here doesn't mean kasratu dhikr, that you remember Allah abundantly. Because then it should be on the udhkurulna dhikran kathira. Shiddatu dhikr is the quality of dhikr. Reflect while you are there. Reflect that about the bounties of Allah. Reflect to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way they were doing for their fathers, actually. Why they were remembering their fathers? Because they wanted to say, we are the son of those fathers. These have done such and such things for us. So, أَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرُكُمْ أَبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرَى. Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, you know, most of the riwayat about Hajj, both in Sunni and Shia, are from Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. And that's why Sunni and Shia are all unified in all the rituals of Hajj, because Hajj was, in essence, taught after the Prophet, peace be upon him, in the time of Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, by him. That's why we see all the riwayat of Hajj are from Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. Now, Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا فَرَغُوا مِنَ الْحَجِّ. When they finished their Hajj, يَجْتَمِعُونَ هُنَاكَ. They gathered in Mina. وَيَعُدُّونَ مَفَاخِرَ آبَاءَهُمْ. And they started to count the merits and the pride that their fathers had achieved. وَيَذْكُرُونَ أَيَّامَهُمُ الْقَدِيمَةِ. They remembered the old days. وَأَيَادِهِمُ الْجَسِيمَةِ. And the favors that their fathers had done to them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that يَذْكُرُوهُ مَكَانَ ذِكْرِهِمْ آبَاءَهُمْ. Remembering Allah instead of remembering their fathers. So, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمْ مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. Now, we know that Hajj is a place where people ask things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even for Hujjaj at the time of Jahiliyyah, they may not have asked it from Allah, they asked it from their idols. We don't know what they did, but what is told to us and what the people usually tend to do is that فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Among the people, there are those who say, our Lord, give us in this world. But for such, there is no share in the hereafter. Mentioning this after the qada ul-manasik means that people, when they perform Hajj, they expect something from God. They expect, because they have done this very difficult ibadah, very difficult worship, by moving from place to place and sleeplessness and all these things, would expect something. And Allah says that, yes, I admit you expect something from me, but He tells us what to expect from Him. He tells us, expect something comprehensive. Expect something which benefits you both in this world and in the next world. Do not be materialistic. There are some people who are very materialistic. Even after they perform their Hajj, they say, oh God, give us in this world. Now, of course, not only in saying this, whatever they ask from Allah is for this world. They forget Akhirah. Now, this is in specifically applicable to the mushrikun in Jahiliyyah, because the majority of them did not believe in Akhirah. They performed Hajj for the sake of dunya. They performed Hajj to achieve things in this dunya, and that's why وَمِنَ النَّاسِ فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. They only say, our Lord, give us in this world. Now, the attitude of these people is that they are very materialistic. They do not believe in Akhirah at all. Even if they say they believe, because they don't care about it at all, and they don't ask anything from God about it, because of their attitude, they will have nothing in Akhirah. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. خَلَاق means nasib, means share. They have no share in Akhirah. It's not because they don't ask anything for Akhirah, is because their attitude is worldly. They don't believe even in Akhirah. They don't care about it, so they wouldn't have any share in Akhirah. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Now, Allah is teaching us how to ask him the reward of our Hajj. It's very important. In fact, you do something for someone, and then you ask, you want to ask something, he says, no, no, wait, wait, I tell you what to ask, because I have more than what you want. I have more than what you even imagine. So wait, I tell you what to ask, and then ask me. And this is something like this. Now, about فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. In لطائف الإشارات, قشيري, which is the mystic scholar, says that وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ لَا يَجْنَهُ قَلْبُهُ إِلَيْنَا. There are some people whose heart never tends towards us. And even if they do something, it's not because of me, it's because they want dunya. وَيَرْضَى بِدُونَنَا أَنَّا. They are happy without us to have things. They cannot see but themselves, they cannot see but the share of this dunya. And in that sense, they cannot achieve anything from Allah, from His remembrance, mercy, paradise. It's not possible for them. And that's why I said, فَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. However, when Allah says, فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ, the implication of this is that وَلَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خَلَاقٌ means in dunya they achieve something. That's why we are told that anyone going to Hajj, even if they are mushrik, we have in hadith, if they ask something from Allah for dunya, Allah gives them. And this is the merit of performance of Hajj, that whatever you ask for dunya, you ask for akhirah, Allah gives them. He says, people who do not want me, who do not ask for akhirah, even if they ask for dunya, I give them in the position of Hajj. So that's why he says, Suyuti says, فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا نَصِيبًا فِي الدُّنْيَا فَيُؤْتَاهُ فِيهَا. Allah gives them. Allah gives them that nasib in dunya, but of course they are deprived of akhirat because they do not want it, they do not ask it. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ لَأَنَّ هَمَّهُ مَقْصُورٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا, because they only think about this dunya. Now, what Allah teaches us, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And among them, there are those who say, our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the fire. First of all, they are worried about what will come, about the punishment of fire. Despite whatever they have done, now they have come, they have performed this very difficult and tasking worship, and still they think that they may not be saved from the fire. This is the attitude of a mu'min all the time. They are always worried about the acceptance, about the sincerity. As we have in Surah Mu'minun, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجَلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Those who have given whatever they had to give, they have done all their duties, still their hearts are in fear that they are returning back to their Lord. What will happen? So this قِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, keep us away from fire of hell, shows that concern of these people. Now, what they ask, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, not آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, not whatever is in dunya I want. No, I want good things in dunya. آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. Give us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the fire. Because it says آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا, compared with the previous verse, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Give us in dunya. Whatever is, we achieve it through usury, through taking rights of others. No, we want hasana. And hasana cannot be achieved by wrong ways. Hasana cannot be achieved by taking other people's right. Hasana is more than just having this dunya. We want this dunya, but through right means, not true, wrong means. And because it says hasana, different interpretations are given here. Look what the different narrations and different interpretations have said about atana fi dunya hasana. Fil akhirati hasana is, of course, almost unanimous that enter us, in, make us to enter into Jannah. That's the final hasana that anyone can have. Now, in dunya, atana fi dunya hasana. It's reported from Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, annaha sa'atu fi rizq wal ma'ash wa husnul khulq fi dunya. Hasana is not only money. Of course, hasana is to have good, comfortable life and rizq, but husnul khulq as well. If someone has lots of money, lots of wealth, but doesn't have husnul khulq, it's not a very pleasant, and they don't have a nice life as well. If someone has lots of wealth, but is not happy in life, is not healthy, for example. So hasana means a comprehensive sort of request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make our lives happy. This is important. This is the important thing. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, as-sa'atu fi rizq wal-mash wa husnul khulq wa ridwanullah wal-jannah fi al-akhirah. Of course, in akhirah, ridwanullah and paradise. Hasan al-Basri and Qatada say, al-ilm wal-ibadah fi al-dunya wal-jannah fi al-akhirah. Allah gives knowledge and ibadah to someone in dunya and paradise in akhirah. That's a good meaning, of course. But why should we forbid other things as well? Someone has knowledge and ibadah and comfortable life. وَقِيلَ هِيَ الْمَالِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ الْجَنَّةِ. This is, again, restricting the whole thing. Something is reported from Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, and it's very interesting. A good wife in dunya and paradise in akhirah. Yes, of course, a good wife can make the life like paradise, isn't it? No matter whether you are poor, you are rich, you are whatever you are, a good wife or a good spouse, anyhow, it's mentioned wife, but a good spouse can make the life happy. And this has been mentioned in other riwayat as well. Majmu' al-Bayan mentions one riwayat from the Prophet, peace be on him, that the Prophet said, "Man utiya qalban shakiran wa lisanan dhakira." وزوجة مؤمنة تؤينه على أمر دنياه وآخرته فقد أوتي في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة ووقي عذاب النار. Whoever is given a thankful heart, قلبا شاكرا, and a remembering tongue, always remembering Allah, and a good wife that helps him in dunya and akhira. In dunya, how helps him? That's actually accept whatever they have, make a pleasant life, whether they are poor or rich. And in akhirah, doesn't actually demand things that from him that he should deviate from the path. It helps him in ibadah, helps him in salatul layl and other things. فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنْ. I remember someone was saying this on member and was saying that, for example, was given an example. For example, when you wake up for Salatul Layl, she brings you a cup of tea and helps you in your akhirah. Anyhow, أَلَىٰ أَمْرِ دُنْيَا وَأُخْرَىٰ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَ وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَ. This is hasana in dunya and akhirah, because of course, a shakir qalb, a dhakir tongue, this is for akhirah, isn't it? And a wife, a good wife, which makes life happy, which makes sort of interactions godly, that is of course for akhirah as well. So, other things are mentioned, kasihati wal amn wal kafaf, health, security, having enough to live. And at the end, Faiz Kashani says, of course, all these are examples. It's very general. Anything which makes the life happy and spiritual is good in dunya. And of course, hasana in akhirah is jannah. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Thank you much indeed, Sheikh. Very interesting talk today, discussion. So we can make it more interesting by having more questions or clarification required from the public? Any brothers, sisters? Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much for this beautiful explanation. There are two, three questions. One is it true that they say that once you perform the Hajj, the 70 days you are sinless? I mean, whatever sin you do are forgiven because it's like a new birth after doing a Hajj. So, second is, why sometimes it puzzles me, why can't we pray together with the Jamaat? I know we have a difference. But at the time of Hajj also, you know, we also, the first different sects make a different section and pray separately, which is sometimes I find it when you come where all the Muslim brotherhoods should be there, and we don't do it. Sometimes also what happens is they follow a fixed calendar, they do a Hajj one day earlier at times. You know, they're not with the rest of the community. They do it separately, and which sometimes I find it very difficult to understand.
Yeah. What was the first question?
About 70 days of sin.
Yes, we have in many riwayat that after Hajj, until the end of Zil Hajjah, and then end of Muharram, the sins are not written for the... Now, this is difficult to say whatever you do. It means that the Haji is in a situation that even the small mistakes, not of course if I go and it's immediately after coming from Hajj going to pub, well, that's a different issue. And it means they don't do it actually. Initially, they don't do it immediately after Hajj, but small mistakes are forgiven. It's for the honor of this Hajj, because Hajj and Hajja have an honor with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it's not written. With regards to Salatul Jama'ah, of course, now all the Maraji say that we perform Salatul Jama'ah with them, there's no problem, even if, for example, we cannot put Torba and such things, it's fine for the sake of unity. And also, many of the Maraji say, even on other occasions, it's okay to perform Jama'ah with Ahlul Sunnah, and we have riwayat in that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam encourages companions to go and pray in the mosque with Ahlul Sunnah. And regarding Hajj, it is not possible to perform Hajj on different day. We can have different Eid al-Adha here, but when we go to Hajj, because all Hujjaj go together to Arafat and to Mina, to Mash'ar, to Mina, it's not possible to do it on a different day, even if it is not, for example, established for us that Hajj, the 10th of the Hajj is a different day. So I don't know, have you ever seen someone done it differently, on a different day? Okay, and then one day earlier they go to Arafat, and... Yes. Well, even in the Risala, he said that if someone is 100% certain that the calendar is wrong, what they say, then of course they have to perform Hajj on the same on the right calendar. But it's very difficult to verify that it's 100% wrong. And therefore, now we see that everyone, all the Shia, the Sunni, do it on the same day, except if some people really, really want to separate themselves and go on a different day.
Thank you. Any brothers? Yep, Riyaz.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. My eyes were caught on this 1 minute. It says, recite the name of Allah as you would speak of your forefathers, or even with greater fervor. If we reflect on this, you see, it then ties into the next ayat where it says whether your sins are forgiven. For a start, not everybody had great fathers or great qabilas, for that matter. So if somebody's family had, for example, not been a great person, or maybe even had some kind of physical or mental illnesses, does this then exclude or preclude those people who cannot say good things about their forefathers? For example, we had the ashab of Ali, and one of them was obviously a slave. So he wouldn't have been able to say that my forefathers had achieved this, because he was a slave in Mecca. You see? So does it not then have this idea of maybe the less fortunate in the group will not feel comfortable talking about their forefathers? You know, I'm not saying that it's done now. I'm just saying that now is a good opportunity. The way it's evolved is that nations are talking to each other, and they're using those days in Arafat to inquire from each other about each other's health. But it does put a bit of a stigma on somebody who might have a disability. That's all.
Nowadays, of course, it's not possible to do it. This is something which was done in a tribal society. There were tribes, not families. So different tribes. And every tribe had their own sort of merits. Nowadays, we have nations. It's good that nations talk about their cultures and the good things that they do. It doesn't matter, I mean, if we come to other people. We know that the values have changed now. You know, in old days, they may have spoken about the bravery of their fathers or, for example, their achievements in the world. Since the new religion changed the standard of merits, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. So, yeah, if you have more pious forefathers, talk about them. It's good. My forefather, for example, did such and such charities. They had established such and such charities and done such and such good works. And nations talk about these good things. It doesn't matter. But this should not, of course, divert you from remembrance of Allah subhanahu.
I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about disabilities. So people, because
disability,
you see,
is not something which would take away the value of someone or something. And this is not about fathers specifically. Mm. It is Aba'ikum here. They talked about their tribes, actually, their tribal achievements, rather than specific individuals. And disability, of course, is not something that one. I mean, many people with certain disabilities have other merits that healthy people don't have it. It doesn't matter. I don't think it's something.
It's only because Islam has been accused of not treating people who are less able or less fortunate at the same level. For example, if I can remember the ayat that says that the person who is blind is not the same as a normal person. And it can be misconstrued, but at the same time, it's interesting if we have, and I'm sure we have, more talk about how our imams treated people who were less able, so as we are also encouraged to do the same.
That's very good, yeah. Of course, Islam doesn't do what you said. Muslims have done that culturally. So, of course, and even that verse, "Wal ma yastawil a'ma wal basir," is an example for the enlightenment rather than just pinpointing the idea.
Thank you. Any sisters? Sisters? Yep. Yeah. Can you pass the mic to back of the mic?
Assalamu
alaikum.
It's a sinful person in the eyes of Allah. I mean, is it a good etiquette to ask or to leave it for Allah to find out what a human being wants from him and just do zikr of Allah? So do you have to physically ask sometimes the hasana of this world and the akhirah, or Allah knows your niyat, but you keep praying to him through Quran and through du'as?
Asking is always good. We are recommended to ask. Even, of course, Allah knows that in many du'as, for example, the imam when he starts, he said, you know what I'm going to ask. okay, even before I say it. But asking, in a sense, attracts the blessings and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the effect of the soul. However, just one example, for example, when Noah was in the ark and the ark was going mad in that storm on the waters, and everyone was afraid. Now, Allah said that وَإِذَا اسْتَوَيْتَ أَنْتَ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ عَلَى الْفُلْكِ فَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي نَجَّانَا مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَقُلْ say, ask, رَبِّ أَنْزِلْنِي مُنْزَلًا مُبَارَكًا. Now, Allah wants to actually make them land in a blessed land, but He said, ask for it. Say it. قُلْ رَبَّ أَنْزَلْنِي مُنْزَلًا مُبَارَكًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنْزَلِينَ, because it has an effect in the whole thing. However, we have in one hadith, مَنْ شَغَلَهُ ذِكْرِي أَمْ مَسْأَلَتِي أَعْطَيْتُهُ فَوْقَ أَطَاءِ السَّائِلِينَ. Someone who my zikr, my remembrance, diverts them from asking. They are so much immersed in remembering me that they even don't find time or don't find the attitude to ask. I give them more than I give to the sa'ilin. There is one hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that says, sometimes I have something to ask from Allah, and when I start the dua, because they didn't just ask like us. They started with praise of Allah and mentioning His bounties and humbling themselves. He says, then when I started to do that, I forgot what I wanted to ask. Then, of course, Allah will know and Allah will give.
Thank you. Yes, brother. Safraz.
Asalaamu Alaikum. Sheikh, I'm just trying to understand more clearly what you're saying. Can this be a good reasoning that in our lives we're so immersed with whatever we're doing that the blessings of Allah are raining down on us, but we are just not able to receive them because we're not focused on it, we're somewhere else. And in asking Allah, we're turning our own hearts towards Him, and then when we receive it. So the asking is not for Allah's sake, it's for our own sake.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just to somehow put us in a situation where we are able to receive, rather than informing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also asking is humbling as well, isn't it? I mean, sometimes we want something, we never want to humble ourselves to someone to ask. But from Allah is good. To humble oneself and ask Allah. So again, that somehow prepares the soul. When we humble ourselves in request, it prepares the soul to receive the bounties from Allah. That's true.
Thank you. Any sisters? No, brother?
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. It's very, very interesting indeed. But very simple, simple question. Why we say, Rabbina atina fi dunya hasana? Singular. Why not plural? Hasanat. Why?
Maybe the reason is that this is a comprehensive hasana that we want. When we say hasanat, hasanat is countable. Then which hasanat? How many? But when we say hasana, in fact, we are putting Allah in such a position that we leave that to you. You give us whatever you want.
Thank you. Any sisters? Sisters? Brothers? Yeah, bismillah.
Thanks very much, Sheikh. The verse says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. Does that suggest in some way that there was a particular group that we can point to and we can name the people, and then there was a particular group who say the correct thing, and does that suggest that those people are the Ahlul Bayt, or is it much more general?
Well, whatever is mentioned in the Quran about good habits, the cream of it and the most outstanding instances of it are Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. And that's why there is a hadith which says that Quran is revealed in four areas or three areas. One area is about us. Al-Quran, Nuzul al-Quran, Thalathatu Athlathan, or Arba'atu Arba'in. One quarter is about us, one quarter is about our enemies, one quarter is Hikamun wa Amthal, and one quarter is Fara'id wa Ahkam. Now, it means that whatever is good in it, the highest paragon of that are, of course, Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. And whatever is evil there, the highest paragon are those their enemies. And therefore, yes. However, whenever Quran talks about men and nas or alludes to nas, it also refers to particular people as well. And that's what we believe, that the explanation of Imam Ali on the Quran had these names as well. That who were the particular people who initially were doing this, and Allah referred to them as an example for everyone else. But of course, we don't know it. And maybe there is a wisdom in it that we shouldn't know it. So it's just general.
Thank you. Any sisters? Brothers? Sheikh, when we talk about maghfira and afwa, we have tasbih afal afwa al afwa. So are we asking Allah that, oh Allah, you forgive us and also forgive the people who have done harm to us, so forgive them? Is that what it means?
We ask for both, af and maghfira. But what is, of course, al-af is very good, but what is recommended to do every day and every year is istighfar. Istighfar is more than asking for af. Istighfar is also to remove the effects of what we have done from our souls.
But in certain amal, there is the tasbih al-afu, al-afu only.
It's good, yeah. Why shouldn't we? And the Quran tells us, wa'afu anna, wa'afir lana, wa'arhamna, all of them. Yeah.
Okay. Any sisters or brothers? Yeah, bismillah.
So the first verse we started off with, perhaps I didn't understand. So you said that the people who were looking after the Haramain, they did not go to the Arafah.
Quraysh, yeah.
Yeah. So is this actually endorsing that, or is the verse actually saying that you should go to Arafah? So I didn't get
that. No, it said you should go. ثُمَّ أَفِيذُوا مَنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاذَ النَّاسِ. Stream out from where other people stream out. So it actually is abolishing that ritual that Quraysh had for themselves, or that sort of special dignity they regarded for themselves. It abolishes it. I think you should go there as well. Yeah.
Any sisters? Any sisters? Yeah, no? Brothers? Yeah, bismillah.
Shaykh, about maghfirah, I had this occasion happen to me, and there it might have some bearing to what it's trying to say about maghfirah. As in, you sit and you reflect at the end of Hajj about asking for forgiveness. It's because it happened to me that I had come home and we had visitors, and I had brought a lot of stuff, which is like kids' crisps and drinks and stuff in a big box. And there were visitors, and there were two kids who their father was not in their family. It was a single parent bringing up. And I just saw the eyes of that little girl light up at that time and then drop down and think, okay, my dad's not going to do this to me because I don't have a dad at home. And that hit me so hard that every time I ask for forgiveness, it's just not enough. I could have done this to somebody else and I didn't know about it. It's possible. So where I'm saying to God, you are the greatest, as much time as I repeat it, the tongue that actually makes that sentence, I should thank God for that. So when you come down from God, you are great, and then come down to maghfirat of things what I have might have done wrong, might even know about it. It's possible I've done it before. I didn't realize it, but I hurt a little child by my actions. So when I come down from the alhamd to the astaghfirullah, maybe I just need to go subhanallah, because I don't have a right to ask for anything else. As in, you know, it feels like he knows what you want. So I don't know if you call that an advanced stage of realization, or maybe Hajj is made for this type of realization, that people might do this kind of realization that they might have hurt somebody. And then I believe it's true that it's possible that you don't get to the stage where you ask, because you've led a life and you know you might have hurt more people in that. So maybe when you're young and you're raising a family, you have concerns and you ask, look, I want a better life for my children. But I can't see that lasting long, because the things that last are the zikr of Allah at every breath and, of course, the maghfirah of things that we might have done. So to me, that asking is, as the sister says, it's the third element. If you have time for it, fine. If not, then just continue, because you know you are already blessed. You are able to say Subhanallah, Astaghfirullah. You are, you know, that in itself is quite a blessing. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Well, you have a whole afternoon in Arafat. You can do a few hours of istighfar and half an hour asking.
Any sisters? Any sisters? Your brother, Sarfraz in the front, and then Doctor in.
Sheikh, I just want to come back to what Muhammad Raza was saying about afwa and maghfirah. If maghfirah contains everything afwa does, I don't understand the wisdom of why ask for something less when you can straight ask for something more.
No, of course. Af should come first, and then maghfirah will come.
But you can go straight to istighfar.
And then rahmah will come.
Unless maybe istighfar and afwa contain something istighfar doesn't. Maybe something, some subtle difference between them that we don't understand.
You know, as I said, af is to somehow remove the punishments, and istighfar is to remove even the effect which stops, blocks the way for reward. So when you do istighfar, of course it means that af has come already, but it's good to ask for both of them, an af and istighfar. What we are advised, for example, in Salatul Layl every morning, is to do istighfar 70 times, 100 times istighfar. Because we may not, Muhammad Rizai said, we may not actually think we have any sin, but we may have done things which inadvertently has hurt others. And istighfar would remove them as well. Now, the Quran teaches us, I don't know the difference, but the Quran teaches us, wa'afu anna, wa'afir lana, warhamna. Let's follow that. Yeah.
And totally, nobody's disputing that. I just wanted to know, there must be a wisdom that we're not understanding.
Yeah,
that's what I was asking. Could there be something more subtle here?
Certainly there is something subtle that we don't understand.
But then, Sheikh, why is the sequence istighfar first and al-af in the Salatul Layl? If it was al-af first and istighfar, we would understand that from lower level to higher level, we are going to higher level.
In Salatul Layl what, sorry?
In Salatul Layl, is Astaghfirullah first, and then Alaf. If it was the other way around, then...
There is no order. You can see, you can ask in any order you wish.
Thanks for that. Yes,
we
doctor.
We have one question.
Sorry, okay. Sister, yeah.
I think in Surah Al-Taghabun, Allah says, "Wa in ta'fu wa tasfahu wa taghfiru." So there is a sequence here, isn't it?
Yes.
So what is tasfahu here?
Saf means to forget, to turn away. Okay. So forgive and forget, and then taghfiru. Here is one of the instances where maghfirah is used in the case
it's
of human beings.
Case.
Yes.
Thank you, brother. Yeah.
I'm asking again, sorry. I think one comment I have, when we say, and I got a question, when we say astaghfirullah, it has a finishing word, atubu ilayh. Therefore, it's confirmed what you're saying, actually. When istighfar is something completely clear up the fault. And atubu ilay, which is complete the statement that I will promise not to do it. But my question is, what I hear from you is obviously Quraysh used to go Hajj to Mecca. And therefore, Islam came and make the same process, continuation. Similarly, it seems that there were some people were praying at, I don't know where, but as Islam, we say Quds was the first of Qiblatain. Were the Islam were praying towards Quds, or the Prophet was praying to the, and when they changed from Quds to Mecca? I know nothing to do with the ayah today we explained.
Yeah.
But this is what, therefore Hajj is therefore Islam is come and use the same process. He didn't say don't do it, but use the same.
These rituals were established at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the Quran mentions that Ibrahim called people to Hajj, and because Quraysh and other people regarded themselves as descendants of Ismail alayhi salam, and also were very meticulous about following those rituals that had remained from Ibrahim, they were doing it. However, they had other things to it, right? For example, this superstition that Quraysh shouldn't go out from Haram, or they had put idols about 400 years before Islam. They had put idols in Kaaba. So for hundreds of years, they were doing Hajj without idols. They were meticulously following the rituals of Ibrahim alayhi salam. There was no question in that. Now, they added these rituals and some superstitions that Islam removed them. Removed the idols, removed these superstitions. And certainly they had other things that they had added to Hajj or taken away from it, that Islam restored exactly the same Hajj as Hajj of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, initially, yes, for the whole period that Prophet, peace be on him, was in Mecca, and for the first 17 months in Medina, they were praying towards Jerusalem. And maybe the reason for it was that because Ibrahim alayhi salam was there, and that was where the residence of Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was the holy land, as the Quran mentions several times, the holy land. Then after 17 months in Medina, the command came to turn from Jerusalem towards Kaaba. And it, of course, raised lots of questions and criticisms, especially by the Jews. But the Quran explains all that. Yeah.
Take any last one? Yes, sisters?
Regarding going back to the sin, certain sin, I mean, things which were wrong, which you used to do it when you were 10 years younger, when I look at my life and I see certain things, not the major sins, but the small sins. But if you are unaware of it, which you didn't know, I'm sure Allah, I mean, you always, I said, you didn't give me that much wisdom to know the difference. So it has been forgiven. It's not that you are carrying that sin within after 10 years, which you were unaware of it.
Yeah, Toba would remove. Would yeah, remove everything. Yeah, Toba would remove everything.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rajin Sheikh, Muhammad Wali, Muhammad Salah.